Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Monday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. Titans have their man, Mike Borgonzi, the new general manager of the Tennessee Titans. We'll let you know whenever a press conference will take place. But we say hello now to former Titans punter Brett Kern, who's on the line with us. Brett, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How y'all doing?
We are fantastic. Just kind of reacting to the news that came out Friday afternoon. Mike Borgonzi, I don't know if you've talked to people. Obviously, you know, you've known some folks that have been in Kansas City, but they get the former assistant GM of the Chiefs, and now he's coming to the Titans. What that power structure looks like, we have no idea. I don't know if we'll ever know, but he seems like, and people I've talked to, this seems like a really good hire and a guy that knows football.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think that he started with the Chiefs in 2009, right? And he started pretty much at the bottom as just like, you know, a scout, right? Watching a ton of tape, evaluating players. And then obviously he's worked his way up, you know, to be an assistant general manager. He's been a part of a lot of huge draft classes. You know, I think you look at the common thing between this Chiefs-Bills game coming up is there's a lot of homegrown players, right? The Chiefs have a ton of guys that were draft picks that are starting, that are important roles of starting. And you look at the Bills too, right? Four guys they got from free agency of your 22 starters. And I think 9 to 10 of those guys are on their second contract with the Bills. So Mike comes from a system where obviously they've drafted well. Every draft's not going to be a home run, right? We get that. But obviously to have a high percentage of your guys that you're drafting are now contributing starters is huge. So I think he brings that a system of how they've done it in Kansas City, of how to evaluate players. He's now bringing it to the Titans. And I think the question really becomes is, you know, if they ever have a press conference is, you know, what's the power structure? Who has the final say? What's, you know, the communication between – now you're adding more people, right, from Chad now to Mike. Does Mike have people? And then obviously you have your head coach and Brian, right? So where do they all fall in the power structure? Who has the final say? And I think all that needs to get communicated just so as fans, even as players or coaches, everyone's staff, they understand the structure that's at hand. Because I think that's important to have transparency and accountability going forward.
Do you, when you kind of see moves like this, it's easy to say, all right, he's been with the Chiefs, so he's going to bring some of that here. I mean, and we saw that with, you know, Robinson coming from the Patriots, even a little bit with Carthon coming from the 49ers, these organizations that have had success. So it's easy to get caught up in that. Do you look at it that way, or do you kind of look at it as, yeah, but now he doesn't have Andy Reid. Now he doesn't have Patrick Mahomes. Now he doesn't have, you know, some of these people that have been in Kansas City. So it's almost like it's a clean slate. How do you kind of go about looking at that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just depends on obviously he's been there for a long time, and so he understands the systems that were set up, you know, that he's been a part of now and before that. And so obviously he's watched a ton of tape. You don't know exactly, you know, was he the guy that brought in, you know, Trey Smith or Nick Bolton or some of these, you know, key starters, or how important was he with Patrick Mahomes, right? You don't know. But I think that's what's interesting of him coming here is, does he bring some of those guys with him? And then I think that's why it's important to communicate, you know, hey, is it Chad that has the final say with players? Because if that's the case, then really, do we really know what Mike is doing, right? Or if Chad comes out and says, hey, I'm the president of football operations, I just want to make sure everything's running smoothly. You know, we're going to have meetings together. I want everybody to be on the same page. Mike has the final say with personnel. He will be in contact with Brian. Right, they will make decisions together on who they want to draft, who they want to bring in, but Mike has the final say. Right, if none of that's communicated, then the question you just asked, we'll never know, right? Because we won't know who's really making these picks, who has the final say, and so then, you know, we can't tell who's making this final decision, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. Hey, Brett, when you were coming out of Toledo, were you scouted at all? Did a scout come visit you?
Heck no. I wasn't scout. I didn't go to the combine. I didn't have anything like that. I remember, this is actually kind of a funny story. You know, our pro day came around, and at Toledo, we had about 2 or 3 inches of snow that fell. And there was an assistant guy from the Colts that he came and he said, hey, I want to work you out. I said, wow, this is my first workout. It's, you know, 35 degrees outside. There's snow. So I went out there. I shoveled like a little patch where I could kick. And I told him where to stand, and I'll punt it to him. And, you know, I thought I had a really good workout. And so after the workout, I said, hey, you know, are you, you know, assistant special teams coordinator? You know, what's your role at the Colts? And he said, oh, I'm just I'm just starting out there as a pro scout. I've never worked out anybody before. And he's like, I actually really don't even know who the special teams coordinator is. So that was my workout that I had. And but, you know, I had a couple opportunities to go out and kind of have some workouts, not football related, to get some film to special teams coaches, and obviously ended up in Denver.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, if you get drafted, I understand the workouts, but I mean, like, for a scout, you know, and this guy's supposed to be a really good scout, Borgonzi, a scout who finds these guys, you know, and you're like that guy, Brett. I know you're our friend on the show, but you're like that guy, that diamond in the rough that you can find. So how important is it that you find you out there in the NFL world?
Yeah, I think that just depends on who he has working for him, right? You know, I remember when I was in Denver, there was a guy named Champ Kelly, who is with the Vegas Raiders right now, who was the interim GM, you know, last year when all that stuff went down. And so, you know, he was in Denver. He was, you know, kind of the bottom, lowest of the totem pole. And he went to the East-West Shrine Game. He's the only guy I talked to the whole week at the Shrine Game, you know, talked to me, interviewed me, all that kind of stuff. And he was like, well, I know we need a punter, and I'm here to try to find a punter. And so, you know, but that's the kind of guys that you need, guys that are going to be willing to do, you know, they're going to travel to, you know, North Dakota in the wintertime to work somebody out when right. You really don't want to go there. You'd rather go down to the University of Miami, stay on the beach, and, you know, go work some guys out, right? And so I think a lot depends on who Mike has underneath him, those scouts that know what he wants, the type of player he wants for the Titans organization, and are they willing to go to remote places, remote universities, to work these kids out to go find them. So I think that's important for Mike of who he has underneath him to be able to do that stuff.
You know, it's funny, Jalen Milroe is going to the Senior Bowl, or to the whatever Senior Bowl next week. He's not going to throw. And I'm thinking, that's like you going to the Senior Bowl, I'm not going to punt. I don't understand that. You went through all the rigmarole. I don't. If you're going to go out there, just show them what you could do, right?
Yeah, I don't understand that. I first of all, I don't think the punter or the kicker has any ability to, hey, I'm going to go to the Senior Bowl, I'm not going to punt.
Just hang out.
I did do that one year I went to the Pro Bowl with you know, Coach Tomlin, but I also had a sports hernia and a torn ab muscle, and I literally couldn't punt. I still wanted to be at the Pro Bowl.
Right.
So he understood that, right? And it's the Pro Bowl, so who really cares? But to go to the Senior Bowl and not throw, you know, I don't know. I guess that's what the combine's for. If you're not going to throw and you want all these interviews and stuff like that, because now you're taking away a spot from somebody that could go there and actually throw and compete.
We're talking to former Titans punter Brett Kern here on the Chasing Big Joe show. So we had two games yesterday in the divisional round that I know you would have loved to have kicked in, both in Buffalo last night and earlier in the day in Philadelphia. You've kicked in Philadelphia before, punted in Philadelphia before. How tough is that? We were texting a little bit during the game. How tough is it for not only the kicker but also the holder, which you obviously did?
Yeah, Braden did a great job last night, you know, holding for Jake. That's tough conditions. I played in both. Obviously, growing up in Buffalo, that's just what it is up there. And then, you know, playing in the snow, you know, that Sunday night Green Bay game we had, snow, and played a couple games in high school in that kind of snow too. So, you know, I think, you know, last night, obviously, I was really curious with Buffalo because, you know, they finished year number one in turnover margin at plus 24. And obviously, they had three turnovers. And so, you know, with that, you know, that's a 91% chance to win when you're plus three in the turnover margin. And if you look at the teams that are still left, Commanders plus six, Eagles plus six, Bills plus three, and Chiefs at zero, you know, turnovers are huge. Obviously, in the Detroit game, you know, being minus five in the turnover margin, I mean, you know, you're looking at a 1% chance of winning, and that's pretty much impossible with playoff football. So, yeah, the conditions were tough yesterday for those guys, but I mean, that's just playoff football. That is what it is, and I think you could see with all four of those games, the competition's so good that little mistakes are huge, right? You know, for LA to give up a 44-yard run, 62-yarder, and a 78-yarder, those are some serious explosive plays and hard to overcome. And then, I look at the Kansas City game, and everybody wants to talk about Mahomes and all that kind of stuff. And that's, I think you have to understand at this point in the year, like, you go to Arrowhead, and that's one of the toughest places to play in general, let alone in the playoffs. It's cold. You're not going to get many calls to go your way. But I think the thing that bothered me was, I'm obviously a special teams guy in the field position. For me, when it's 4th and 10 on the 40, you punt it, right? You don't go for that. That's a hard ask, 4th and 10 against a good defense, right? Because now if you pin them, your defense is playing well. They now have to drive the field. But instead, you get the sack. Kansas City starts in their own territory. Thankfully, Kansas City still punted. But now you're starting, backed up on the 7-yard line. Whereas if you would have punted in the first place, you probably could have gotten the ball to midfield-ish, right? But instead, now you're backed up. You can't do anything. And Townsend punts the ball, 34-yarder. Chiefs only have to do a couple plays, and you kick a field goal. And so, for me, I think the field position in that game, instead of playing the field position game, you almost have to play perfect football when you're playing in Kansas City in the playoffs. And to not win the field position battle puts you way behind your chances to win in Kansas City.
How loud does Arrowhead get? You've punted and you've held kicks there. How loud does it get on that field down there? Because they say that's the loudest stadium in football.
Yeah, it is. To the point where, if you're standing next to somebody shoulder to shoulder, you can't even have a conversation with them. So, it's loud, but it's awesome. I mean, it's so much fun. I mean, just to see, I got goosebumps yesterday. They're singing the anthem and, do the home of the Chiefs, and you have the Chinooks, fly over. And I just, oh man, that's something. If there's things you miss about football, to feel that, the hair on your arms and to just goosebumps go by. That's definitely something you miss, but it's an experience, and it's something that, I'll never forget.
Real quick, Chase and I brought this up earlier. This love, adoration for Mahomes from the NFL refs, I mean, I laughed at it, during the season, Brett, but when I saw the late hit they called him on Saturday after he dropped the ball and became a runner, they're going to have to make some sort of rule, I think, in the offseason to define what a runner is and is he a quarterback, because right now Mahomes is getting every single call.
I guess my thought is, like, if we can send somebody to space and they can live in space, why can't we review that? They review it in college, right? It's quick. You have the office in New York City, like, review it, right? If you look at the slow-mo, and even the one earlier where Will Anderson gets called and it looks like his helmet hits his shoulder pad, right?
Yes.
And they throw the flag. Why can't you – this is the playoffs. A 15-yard penalty might make or break – a drive, it might make or break a game. Why can't we just review this? It's that simple. You got your little things in your ear, the earpieces. Just review it, and then let that be that.
Perfect. Thank you,
former Titans. there you go.
Pretty simple. Yeah,
former Titans punter.
I was also on the other side of maybe one of the worst holding calls in Super Bowl history. To go the Chiefs' way. So I'm not bitter or biased about it.
not at all. Hey, real quick before we let you go, Derrick Henry, over 2,000 yards if you count regular and postseason. I think I heard last night, if you combining the two, 7th all time, something like that. Obviously, an amazing year, his first year with the Ravens. He's feeling it today and upset. Yeah. But, I mean, it's one of those things that I think you look at that combination of Derrick and Lamar, it certainly worked, and I feel like it can work again next year.
Well, like I said, I mean, if the Ravens kind of don't shoot themselves in the foot and have 3 turnovers, kind of a sloppy football or sloppy fumble, interception, another Mark Andrews fumble,
it's a different story. Yeah.
If they don't turn the ball over 3 times, they might win by 14. And it's literally playoff football comes down to little things like that. And, they'll be back. So.
Yeah, 100%. Brett, always appreciate the time, and we're going to keep doing this even in the off season because there's a lot to talk about. So we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. We'll see you.
See ya. Brett Kern, former Titans punter, on the line with us. We'll react to some of the things he had to say and much more. Brandon, hang on the line. We'll get to you as well. It's Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.